So today is the last of that special message series, and in a way, two simple questions. Why am I here? Here could be here at this moment, here could be here in America, here could be here in this world as a human. And another question related to that is, what should I accomplish in this life? The reason of bringing this question to you is, well, my personal journey too has been somewhat that way. Started to ask this very question, why am I here? Why was I born when I was six? And that was, in a way, to me, one of the saddest days in my life because I didn't find any answer. I just had to accept life is harsh, and I have to accept it. And that was the conclusion of that day. And sometimes, that's how it is. And sometimes, you may indeed find an answer. So, there are biblical answers, definitely. And it is pretty amazing if you read the Bible with more open mind, and of course if you apply some of Swedenborg's correspondences, but if you don't know them, simply with open mind, that inviting spirit to guide you when you're reading it, that may lead you to another understanding which is much deeper than that. But yet still in here too, what kind of caught my attention today here, that actually caught me many times, is that in after this is so second creation, you know, Genesis has two creation stories, so this one is the second creation story, and there was no plant of the field was yet in the earth, and no herb of the field had yet sprung up. For the Lord God has not caused it to rain upon the earth. Why? Because there was no one to till the ground. There was no one to till the ground. And then it leads to the creation of human. One of reflections that I had done, of course, after somehow this season, we're all struggling probably the same thing, and there's concerns and worries too. And that led me to one thread of thinking about reflecting upon human history. And, you know, I am taking all the advantage of this wonderful advancement of technology and civilization, living one of the most beautiful, well-civilized city in the world, San Francisco. Yet, if we look at whole human history, somehow, in the name of advancement and civilization, we humans have modified and or destroyed the nature for our comfort and for our convenience and for our benefits. To a degree that there are certain concerns about it too. And somehow Bible, in the very beginning in Genesis, reflects that it looks like God is not exactly pro-civilization. You know, in a context that if you read chapter 4 or 5 of Bible, you know, all the city builders and the starters of the civilization, like Tos, they're all descendants of Cain. Just interesting observation. Not saying that like civilization is bad, technology is bad. But in this advancement, what has come to my attention is that these days, have you ever noticed that somehow it looks like religion, it has become a matter of individual choice. there is a term that church shopping, and there's a term that called religion shopping too. Religion in ancient context supposedly to give something that is definitive or absolute truth regarding what you are and what it means to be a human. So in a way of saying your choice was more or less, you are willingly accept or humbly accept that you are an ignorant human being, that you are seeking for truth, and you learn truth, and go forth. The shift that I see is that somehow there's emphasis, again, it all happened with good reasons, with rightful reasons. Yet it happens that I become the center of choice making. So if certain religion serves me better, I like that. Certain church serves me better, I like that. If this is uncomfortable, I move. If this is too much, then I go find something that's more comfortable for me. To a degree, this is much less of spiritual and more of self-centeredness. So, indeed, are we claiming that we have evolved enough to tell Creator God that I can make my own truth, leave me alone? I am not certain that's the case, but just an observation sometimes. When we claim that I have choice to choose whichever religion that I like to participate, in the other side, there could be a certain human arrogance that has grown into us. So, why are we here? There is a version that I'd like to share that's from Swedenborg. And it is very humble, actually, observation. But at the same time, it also brings humanity as the most unique and special beings in the whole universe. So God, the Creator, who is good and love itself, could not exist by itself to be love itself. So needed intellectual, voluntary, free beings who could not only receive what is going out, but also return. So that is the reason of human creation, according to Swedenborg. So we are created like God. The most important distinction here is we are vessels, not the originators. So we receive what is from God and we contain within us. We keep it as if it's ours, but it is not ours, because it is indeed from the source. And what happened in the very ancient day is that they desired, our first human desire, to claim that indeed this is mine. It's what I worked for it, it's what I have in me, therefore it should be mine. And that kind of caused the trouble. So that is interpretation, inner explanation of the story of the fall. Yet still, the reason we are humans, we are capable with all this intelligence, not only just this intelligence, but also this intelligence too. That we talk about IQ versus EQ, and I believe, you know, EQ is more or less more important to make you a better human being than just IQ. Because EQ brings the sympathy, empathy, and understanding and relating. It makes you to be more sensitive. So why do we need all this? If you really think about, sometimes I talked about it a long time ago, but if we just think about humans as animals, if we're here to survive, our ability itself sometimes is actually work against us. And things that we aspire, inspire us, are not exactly all survival. So definitely, that's why we are instilled and created within, the core of us is the vessel. And this can only be fulfilled when love comes into it. And this love has to be pure one, a good one, not a selfish one. Because this vessel is made by God and can only contain the element that is compatible with divine. So, what should you accomplish in this life? I would love to probably share two stories about that. One is, it's from my favorite book called Zhuangzi. And once upon a time ago, that's how ancient stories start, there was a young rich man who endowed a lot of money, so let's say modern days $1 billion. He lacked anything, and from his childhood he wanted to be dragon slayer. So, he spent thousands and thousands of dollars searching for a master who can teach him the skills and art of dragon slaying. And he found one in deep mountain. So, he paid him, according to the story, 1,000 gold pieces, could be $1 million or more in modern term. And he learned 7 years of dragon slaying under this master. Right? So after 7 years, master said, "You have learned everything that I can teach you. So go now." So he came down from the mountain. Now he wants to kill the dragon or slay the dragon. Well, he couldn't find any. You know why? Dragons don't exist. It never occurred to him to actually check out either dragons are real or not. He just believed they should. Another story is from Zen Buddhism. Again, once upon a time ago, there was this young man who wanted to become Buddha. He made his mind. And he felt that, you know, Buddha left home when he was 30. Or 29. So he thought he should do that too. And he should pursue enlightenment. After all, that's the ultimate goal of human life, right? We all want to get out of this illusory reality and world and be Buddha, free from all that. So he left. Well, he left his single mom home alone. Mom was very sad, but as all moms do, mom let him go. So he traveled, and after many months later, he came upon this certain place, and he was tired and hungry, so he was resting under a tree. And there happened to be another traveler who happened to be a monk. And they had a good conversation. And after a certain conversation, the monk was asking, "So, what are you trying to accomplish here?" And he said, "Well, I would like to be enlightened. I want to be Buddha." The monk said, "Well, would you like to talk to a Buddha?" And the young man said, "Gladly, yes, sure. Where can I find one?" Well, the monk said, "Okay, go back your journey all the way back to where you started. And when you arrive home, knock the door, and there will be the human being or being who will come out, even not fully dressed and not wearing slippers, with all the joy and happiness to you again. That's the Buddha. So, he came back, he knocked his door of the house, and what happened? His mom, yes, so overjoyed he was not. She was not even dressed fully. She forgot about putting her shoes, just running toward him and so happy to see him. So, that's another story. So, what should you accomplish in your life? We hear all kinds of things. I grew up repeating the line about boys, be ambitious. You can achieve anything. Adventure to the end and be brave. If you go out, you'll find those things you'll never imagine. And I think that's beautiful too. But at the same time, if you happen to stay home and live with your mom and dad, is that so shameful? I don't know. We apply certain standards, certain values in a very interesting ways. But after all, why are we here? Are we trying to discover every single spot on Earth? Are we trying to develop the machines and spaceships, go to the other planet and supposedly in other solar system? Are we trying to make the most money that's possible? I have been officiating at least 50 or 70 memorial services, and one was yesterday here for Ron, our friend. And I haven't heard a single comment that, gosh, I wish he has made $1 million more by doing this. Or gosh, he should have done this so that he could be promoted, you know, president instead of vice president. I haven't heard a single comment in any of these moments. The way people remember you is the way how much you shared your life with them, the way how much you cared about them in real actions, the way how much you were present with them for real. And that's how people remember you, and that's how much impressions, influences you have made. So, if you have a choice, I'm just generalizing and simplifying it. You have a way of life, you could indeed make a difference in 20 or 50 or 100 people for real. Or you could be a billionaire. Which way could be better? I don't know. You could do that as being a billionaire too. I'm not saying being a billionaire is a bad thing. But there are certain things we sacrifice, we give up, we push away to get certain other things. Right? In human life, as we say, nothing's free. Everything we do has opportune cost of something else. The reason you chose to be here this morning, spent an hour together here, you cannot do other things that you could have done, that you have lost forever with that. And exactly the same thing happens as we choose each hour, each day, each month, where you want to spend the time and how you align your life together. That makes difference in others and in you too. And I'm not saying you all have to be saints, because that will be a very boring world to live. Yes, we all have to be different. And Swedenborg's message is not about everybody has to be all saints, all giving up, all sacrificing. No. He loves, his heaven is heaven of variety. Everybody's different. Everybody has different passion, different joy, different delight. We all enjoy different things. But all angels respect each other and welcome the differences. And they do not criticize or make fun of other angels' difference. I believe that's different. So, you are a vessel. In your core, the core that makes you who you are is a vessel that is designed to receive and contain love and wisdom, good and the truth that is from your Creator. That's a pretty powerful thing. And ultimately, what we want to accomplish as an individual is to be an angel. And these days, it sounds somewhat goofy sometimes, because you see these angelic images so different in all this. If you watch any movie or TV series that has an angel in it, don't take that image, please. It's not like that. An angel, according to Swedenborg, is a being who is evolved, enlightened, spiritually grown fully to the capacity they are fully sympathetic, empathetic for all other beings. They are fully wise and fully loving, which happens when the good intention and thoughtfulness and loving action unite within a human being. That's an angel. We're all angels in training. And my wish and hope for even this season is that loving God, loving neighbor, according to Swedenborg, you go deeper. It's not just the loving Fred here or Margaret sitting here. Loving life that is within each other. Loving the goodness that is presence of divine that is within each other. We need to go over this quite dazzling presence of human personality and nature to actually see within that is life itself and goodness itself. And that's what we supposed to truly love. May God bless you all, finding and understanding and living the reason why you are here and what you should accomplish. Amen.